السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, our sisters listening over receivers, those at the madrasa, we announce that inshallah we'll have some question and answers, or some bayan, some nasihat, some waz. Now the month of Ramadan, we are listening to many, many waz and many nasihats and many bayans on taqwa. And that was the purpose why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made fasting compulsory in the month of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Now unfortunately, most of us take the meaning of taqwa to be that we make our 5-time namaz, so we are muttaqi. Somebody makes some tilawat of the Quran Sharif, so he's muttaqi. Some person gives some charity, so he's muttaqi. Whereas in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. Fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, O ye believers, and don't die except in a state of Islam. And Islam is a fulfillment of all the laws and ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in today's short majlis, I was intending to discuss Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu's Islam. For Hazrat Wahshi was one who martyred Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the beloved uncle of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before we get to that, let's discuss one question which has come in. Of course, many, many questions come in almost every day. But something that is relevant to most of us is our dealing and our relationship, especially when it comes to business matters, our partnerships, our agreements with people, our promises that we make. Now all these things, most of the time it is not reduced to writing. And as a result, we have many, many problems. Families are split apart. Children stop talking to their parents. Parents are separated sometimes from their children. Brothers and sisters engage in warfare against each other. Whereas there should have been unity, there should have been harmony, there should have been peace. Partnerships in Islam, you will look at the history of the people that ran big, big empires and businesses. Partnership is something that was recommended because it makes it easier to make the business progress. A person may have 100,000 rands. Now he can't do very much with his 100,000. But if he gets another 100 people with 100,000 and each and every one of them are honest, truthful, reliable, then you can do much, much more with that. The profits also will be sufficient for every person's needs, because now he will be able to buy big, and especially if it is cash that has been pooled together, so then the person can buy cash, he will get more discounts. We are not talking about borrowing from the banks. Borrowing from the banks is nothing but cancer. Irrespective of who the person is, but if he is a Muslim, and if he is doing business on borrowings from the banks on which he is paying exorbitant interest, then outwardly it is like a big bubble. But sooner or later it will burst. We have seen in our lifetime many, many companies grow and grow, and after that there is nowhere to be seen. Because that is cancer, it will spread and it will destroy, because that is Allah Ta'ala's hukam, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Farman. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned it in the Quran Sharif, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى for yurbi sadaqat. Riwa and interest is such a dangerous thing for a Muslim. I've given that example many times and I repeat that for a Muslim, the taking of interest is like the chewing of bones. That the chewing of bones for a dog is good. It will give it good health. But if a human being looks at the dog and says that the dog is making progress, the dog is growing in strength by eating up all the bones. So if the human being also follows in that pattern, then he's going to die. So in the same way, this Muslim, if he is going to look at the other companies, if he is going to look at the people around him, that they are growing in prosperity, in inverted commas, because the company started off small and now it's grown very, very big. They are multinational companies now. And how they are progressing is, for example, if they have to take the day's sales and it's running into hundreds of thousands, so they will ask you or they will ask the suppliers for 30 days, 60 days. Now all that money, they take it and put it into the bank. So already they've got so much of interest that's coming in on that money. So as a result, they will be able to sell cheaper than the others who are Muslims, because that Muslim can't take all that money, put it into the bank and get interest for that 7 days, 20 days, 100 and plenty days that they're going to take to pay the suppliers. Now look at the mind of the person will work like that. That these people, they are taking all that money, all these big multinational companies, and they're putting it into the banks and they're getting a lot of interest on it, so they are growing. Now even if they charge a few percent as profit, but they've made big profit on that interest that they already got. So why should we not also do the same thing? So that is where I mentioned once, that insan ki nazar khuda ki khabar. That is insan ki nazar. That is what our eyes are seeing, that this person is growing. Now if the Muslim has to do that, then outwardly we will see that he is progressing. But in reality, Allah Ta'ala's khabar is that he's going to destroy it. That's the khabar of Allah Ta'ala. So are we going to believe our aqal? We are going to believe our sight, or we are going to believe the khabar of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala's khabar is going to destroy it. I give many examples of that. I'm not going in that direction now. So therefore, if the person is going to take interest, then of course it's cancer. But I'm talking about genuine partnerships based on Islamic principles. If everybody is honest, truthful and reliable, then there will definitely be barakat in it. But unfortunately, in our times, this is one ship that doesn't seem to sail well, this partnership. It seems to sink most of the times. And why that happens is for the same reason, that some partner or some partners are plotting and planning and scheming behind the other partners. How many times we have seen that? Because we deal with cases all the time. That whilst this business is being run in partnership, the partners or one of the partners, he does something on the sideline which affects this very partnership. And then it leads to arguments, leads to problems, and then leads to the ship of partnership sinking after that. So therefore, those people who don't recommend partnerships in these times, it is because of the state of our spiritual health. That our spiritual health is in such a state that we cannot seem to really digest these partnerships. If a person is not fit and healthy, or is suffering from different kinds of sicknesses and illness, he's got sugar, diabetes, and he's got so many other sicknesses, his heart is not in a good condition, physical heart. And now we say that now you must eat biryani too, and zarda too, and plow too, and halwa too, and everything. And many a times it happens. People go to walimas, nikahs. Now they forget that they are sick. At that time they even forget that we are suffering from sugar, diabetes and other things. And after having eaten all the halwa and everything else that is sweet, then they will ask, has anybody got saccharine here for the tea? Or can anybody give me some Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi? So because of the spiritual, the physical health of the person, many a times he can't digest. His body cannot digest and cannot convert that which he has eaten to healthy blood. So then we will say that now you mustn't eat these things. So it's not that the people who are saying that you must not go into partnerships in these days in a hurry, they are saying it because there is something Islamically wrong with it. This is a misunderstanding of ours. They are saying it because we don't have many honest, truthful, reliable partners these days. But if somebody is blessed with good partners, then it is a very healthy thing. However, what is important, and that is the issue that I'm wanting to discuss, and I discussed it in detail in some majlis or the other, and many, many of our kabir also have emphasized this point, and they have discussed it in great detail, that whatever it may be, reduce it to writing, so that we do not have problems later on. And especially now, because we are coming across so many cases of where there has been some kind of an agreement between father and son, of parents and children, but because it was not reduced to writing, therefore they have major problems. Now this son is saying that my father had promised me a commission on the sales that I do, and also some kind of a salary he was going to give. So I went out of my way, he says, sometimes I'm in Durban, sometimes in Johannesburg, sometimes in Cape Town, sometimes in other parts of the world. Whatever I could have done, I went out of my way. Now when that commission became due to me, it was a big sum of money. So when I asked my father, he says that he heard one bayan of one Maulana in one masjid, that whatever belongs to you is your father's. Anta wa maluka li abika. The Hadith Sharif is correct. Anta wa maluka li abika. But when was it said? Now, there's a whole long history, there's a lot of long incident. Now all those things are not in the mind of the person. Now the father says, whatever you did, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala reward you. Allah give you the best in this world, in the akhirat. He gave me some dua, but he doesn't want to give me the commission. Now, am I entitled to that commission or not? And can I ask the father, can I demand from him? Because it has strained our relationship now. On the one hand, I don't know whether I'm doing right by demanding, and on the other hand, if I don't take that commission, then it means I'm wasting my time working for him any longer. So then if I'm going to leave him, it's going to be another problem. So therefore we have to understand everything has to be in its proper perspective. That Hadith Sharif is correct too. But if that was the case, so then what was the need for ayat of the Quran Sharif of inheritance? That your father will get so much, this one will get so much, mother gets so much, wife gets so much, husband gets so much. There was no need for all those details there as far as the son is concerned or children are concerned. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala could have just left it like that and said, well, whatever belongs to the son belongs to the father. So finish. Now after that, the father can demand, he can claim, he can do anything. He can walk into his house and take everything away. And if he's got any title deeds on his name, he can say, bring those title deeds because you are my son, everything belongs to me. If you've got any gold, Kruger, hands, coins, anything else, he says, everything belongs to me, he can take everything away, finish. And in inheritance also, say if the mother passed away and she left behind a big fortune, and she left one son and the husband. So now the husband will get his quarter share, and after that the remaining goes to the son. So now the father says, now the husband is the father of the child. So the father says that, but you can't take that balance because I'm your father. Anta wa maluka li abik. So therefore everything is mine. So now finish, there's no inheritance for the son at all. If the father is living, then everything is the father's. So these are extremes that we go to. Therefore, from the time that the son or any children enter into any kind of business, then there should be some kind of clear understanding that you are going to work for me, I'm going to pay you a certain salary, or you are going to get commission, or I'm making you a partner in this business, and as a partner you will get certain percentage of the prophets, or whatever it is, it must be all clearly spelt out. Don't feel ashamed. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he says, in my home, everything is clear. This desk belongs to me. These pots and pans belongs to you. These beds, I've given it to you. Whatever it is, he says, what is mine, I made it clear. What was hers, or what I've given it to her, then I made it clear. So that at the time of death, no person has any kind of problem as to what belongs to whom. Because that is where the problem arises. That nobody knows exactly that what belongs to whom. So there will be lots of arguments, quarrels and fights after that. Families will split apart. So therefore, to make it very clear that this is something that I have gifted to you in my lifetime. And if the person has gifted it, then write it down and give it to the wife that this was gifted. So that after the death of the husband, she doesn't have that problem. That suddenly other people come and then claim or lay a claim to the things that she has. In the same way with all other things. So this is Islam. Islam is not only namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. If we are not going to make these things clear, then our income may not be what we term as 100% halal. Because in this case, now the father is making zulm. If he doesn't give that son the commission that he had promised, then it is zulm. It is injustice. So just as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that even if your parents do injustice, then too you must be good to them. That's the meaning of one of the hadith sharif. That even if they make zulm. So that does not mean that they now have got some kind of a license to make zulm. It doesn't mean that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave them some license that now as parents you have the right to do injustice to your children and you will not be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. Just as the children will be questioned if they have to do injustice to the parents. Parents have got great rights and they have got no right to fight or argue or to swear or to curse or to ill-treat the parents. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will question them. But in the same way, the parents also have got no right to do any kind of injustice because they too will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah if they are going to be unjust. So therefore, it is necessary that these things should be reduced to writing, or at least somebody must be aware of what is really happening so that that person can give evidence in the if there is a need for it, if there is some kind of dispute. And to resolve that dispute, there is a need for evidence. Because many a times a person says that this was what was told to me. He said, well, it was told to you, was there any witness there? He said, no, I don't have any witness. So then how can we accept your word? Qiyamah day, Allah Ta'ala will solve it. He knows exactly what belongs to whom. But now if you say that I've got a claim against certain person for so many 100,000 rands, now you say you got absolutely no evidence, you got no documents, you got no witnesses, you got no signature on any paper. So then what is that person who's mediating going to do? He will tell the person, will take qasam and say, well, he's being owed the money or whatever it is. Or the person that is denying, then he will be asked to take qasam. Now that person, if he can speak lots of lies, how difficult is it for him to take a qasam? There is somebody was told that in the court, that if the plaintiff does not have witnesses, then you will have to take qasam. Now you are from a village, as they say, ordinary Bedouin kind of person, villager. So he thought, now this was a very difficult thing, he'll have to take the qasam, must be some very weighty thing on his head. But he was speaking lies. So he said, well, never mind, now I have to go and take this qasam, because he wanted to take away what was not really belonging to him. Now when he went there, then the judge said, all right, well then he doesn't have any evidence, witnesses, so now you take the qasam. So he said, what is that qasam I must take? He said, now say, I swear in the name of Allah Ta'ala that I don't owe him this money. So he said, that's all. He said, yeah, that's all. He said, that I can take 100,000 times. What's difficult in that? I thought it was a very weighty and burdensome thing, that I can take you any amount of times. So for what is difficult for a person to take qasam these days? The amount of lies that circulate in society, the amount of false oaths and qasams that people take. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ayatul munafiqe salas. Three signs, how many times we have discussed that in detail. Three signs Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave. that when the person speaks, he speaks lies. When he speaks lies. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. And when he makes promises, then he breaks those promises. How many promises people make? How many promises? Yes, due to unforeseen circumstances. The person was definitely, most certainly committed to fulfilling that promise, but due to unforeseen circumstances, the person was not able to fulfill that promise. So then meet the person asking for some extension of time, or apologize for not having been able to fulfill that promise because there was a lot of traffic, he couldn't meet him at the time that he had promised to meet him, or because business was suddenly bad, he couldn't meet up with those checks that he had given. So things like that, then that is exception. But where promises are made so that they may be broken, our promises are made with the intention of breaking it, no intention of fulfilling it. Many people come in to us and they say, what must I do now that I had taken all this person's PDCs expecting that it is going to be met, and then suddenly the person does not meet up. And what is sad is sometimes the person is making Umrah upon Umrah, is making Hajj upon Hajj. One person says, he says, I went there to ask for my money. So he says, my father is gone for Hajj. Now this must have been his 15th Hajj, he said. He said, but what about this PDCs? It is bouncing. He says, I don't know. Now you must wait for him to come back because his crying must be in Arafat there. So those shedding of tears in Arafat is not going to help. Person's liabilities, debts, responsibilities come first. Nafil Hajj, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not going to ask him how many Nafil Hajj you made. But if the person is owing monies, then that comes first. So here the promises, as I said, unfortunately we make promises to break promises. And that is a clear sign of a munafiq and a hypocrite, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given. And then if the person is entrusted, then he betrays the trust. How much of betrayal of trust? Now this is a different subject. But we are discussing here that this is what generally happens. That if this person is now going to make zulm, if he is going to make zulm on the children, or the children going to make zulm on the parents, both will be questioned. Both have got rights. And it's not only parents and children. Here I am talking about general partnerships or anything where the person has loaned person money and is expecting the money at a certain date and time. Now if there is no evidence, what is he going to do? The person has asked for evidence, he said nothing in right. Haven't got anything. So now the person who is mediating, he is going to give a decision on the basis of whatever evidence is there. So he gives the decision, well, sorry, he may be owing you, but or they may have been a partnership and they may have been this and that, but unfortunately we can't decide in your favor because there's no evidence. So this person will come out from there and then he will say, what kind is ulama? What kind of decision they gave? I mean, how can they just give? Now what else must they do? Because you don't have evidence. Yes, Qiyamah day, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will decide. So the lack or deficiency in our level of taqwa and iman is causing all these problems. So therefore there has to be some kind of clarity. There has to be some kind of clarity with regards to these agreements, with regards to these partnerships, with regards to all these dealings that we do, that exactly what belongs to whom or what is due to whom. And we should not feel ashamed. This is the point that I'm emphasizing, that generally they say, well, it was trust, it was my brother, how could I have asked him to sign an agreement? It was my father, how can I ask him to put it in writing? It was my son, how can I ask him to do it in writing? Well, then we have to face the consequences if we are. Then the Quran Sharif wouldn't have told us so many things. The Quran Sharif, look at the Hadith Sharif, look at the different ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How many things he has advised us. He hasn't left anything. If we only have to follow that, we will enjoy the best of both worlds. As I always say, nowadays we have one bread. You see on the packaging it says best of both worlds. Why? Because it's got brown flour and white flour. Now if it's got brown flour and white flour, they say best of both worlds. But I don't see that bread giving best of both worlds just because it's got white flour and brown flour. But if we follow Sharia, Quran and Sunnah, then we will indeed get the best of both worlds. Now somebody asked that, how can a person get the best of both worlds? Because many a times the person has got everything. He's got lots of material things, but he's very sickly. Or the person has lost his child, has lost his somebody, members of his family in some tragedy. So he can't be enjoying the best of both worlds. Nobody in this world can say, I'm enjoying the best of both worlds. So that is a misunderstanding. The best of both worlds does not mean plentiful of material wealth. The best of this dunya means that Allah Ta'ala gives that person kind of sukoon in his heart. He's got contentment, he's got satisfaction. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends azmaish, he sends tests and trials. But in his heart, because he is considering it from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so therefore he has got kind of contentment and satisfaction. شاہوں کے سروں پر تاج گران سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے اور اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے. So because of this noor in their hearts and because of the tafweez and tawakkul that they have in Allah Ta'ala and they know that it is coming from my Allah. So we can't describe this in words, that kind of sukoon that they get in their pain. In their pain also they will feel the pain like any human being feels. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was stoned in Taif, then it's not that milk flowed from his wound. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was stoned in Taif, did milk start flowing from his wound? It was blood that flowed from his wound. When he was stoned in Uhud, it was again blood that flowed from his wound. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam falls down unconscious. The pins of the helmet penetrate his jaws. Now all these things caused immense pain to Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But in spite of that, look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what he's saying. Allahumma de qawmi fa innahum la ya'lam. So there will be pain, the normal pain they all will suffer. But they will say that this is from my Allah. He knows what is best for me. Either it is elevation of the status of the person, or it is a forgiveness of the sins of the person, or some big bala that was going to come. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala got him into some little difficulty. He made some sabr on that. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gets him saved from that big bala that was going to come upon him. So this is what the Ahlullah, or the people of Allah, because of this realization that it is from Allah, He is the one who is making the decision. The decisions are made by Allah Ta'ala. He is not going to have a parliamentary sitting and a caucus meeting and thereafter make a decision with regards to every person. Allah Ta'ala is the one who is Hakim and is Hakim. Allah Ta'ala is Hakim also, wise. He knows what is best for the person. So therefore, that example again suddenly comes to mind that my Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum was sitting and eating with his Shaykh Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali on one occasion. And he said, what is for lunch today or dinner, whatever it was? He said, it's dal. Dal hai, dal. He said, badi ne'mat hai. And then after that he says, Mujhe is dal ke andar biryani ka maza aa raha hai. Mujhe is dal ke andar biryani ka maza aa raha hai. He said, oh Shaykh, how can you be getting biryani taste in this dal? He said, isliye ke mera Allah mujhe khila raha hai. My Allah is feeding me. He says, how can Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be feeding you with his hands? So he said, where is that strength coming into this hand of mine with which I pick up and bring into my mouth? Where is that strength coming from? It is Allah Ta'ala who is giving me that strength. So therefore I mean this tasawwur and this imagination that my beloved Allah is feeding me. So if somebody has got some beloved in this world of illicit beloveds and illicit love relationships, the people understand this very well. That if that beloved has to put something very bitter into the mouth of that person also, then he will do as if he has tasted the sweetest of all things. Because it's coming from his beloved. He is a true ashiq. So here they know that we are ashiqs of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if He has sent some test and some trial, some difficulty and hardship and pain and suffering, so then it is coming from my Allah. So therefore it gives them a kind of satisfaction in their hearts. Therefore the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi says that there are three different categories of people. One is when difficulties, test and trial come, so then at that time, then they are excited, they are happy. They are happy that some difficulty came and it is from my Allah. So therefore they get a kind of an enjoyment in that. They get a kind of enjoyment in that difficulty, in that hardship. Now he says, now that category is of those great waliullahs, and of course we must not try to aspire for that. That, oh Allah, I am very strong and send me difficulties so that I may reach those stages. We are not in that category. I'm just giving you an explanation. But in any case, there are some people of that level that they get an enjoyment. Then there's another category that when they get difficulties, hardship, then they make sabr over it. They make sabr over it, that it is from my Allah, and I must take medication if it's sickness. I must resolve my problem in whichever way possible, make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created to come out of the difficulty. But within the heart, believe that it is from my Allah. And as long as I am doing everything that is right, I am not purposely disobeying my Allah in other matters of my life. So then for that person, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah Ta'ala is with that person. That person will get reward and he'll get ajar on that sabr that he exercises now. He'll get reward. Then that person who, when difficulty comes, then he makes, hi, hi, Allah Ta'ala couldn't find anybody else to give this difficulty. How many people, when the baby is gone, na'uzu billah, they say, Allah Ta'ala could only take my child. After so many years, we got one child. Or if there's an accident, couldn't this have happened to somebody else? Why only me? Or sometimes is one pain and suffering after the other. Then say, so much of du'as I made and nothing is happening. So then that shows that's an azab of Allah Ta'ala. That is a clear-cut sign of azab of Allah Ta'ala, that this person has got no yaqeen, he's got no tawakkul, no trust and no muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. So because of the engagement of sins and in sins, now Allah Ta'ala is sending this kind of an azab upon him. But then I say that even that is a rahmat. That azab is also a rahmat. That is Allah Ta'ala's mercy. That He's making the azab also a rahmat. In which way? That this person on whom this kind of azab comes, if he's got little bit of aqal and is a Muslim, so then he will turn towards Allah Ta'ala. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, give them a little taste. Allah Ta'ala gives them a taste of some of their doings. Just some of their doings. So that they may return to Allah Ta'ala. Allah doesn't even give full punishment. Just a taste of some of the doings. But لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ shows there's rahmat in there. Allah Ta'ala wants the person to return. And that person is not returning, so then he sends some kind of shake-up so that the person returns. Wherever in the world there are tremors, there's floods, there's drought, there's gale force winds, then see how everybody turns towards Allah Ta'ala. While the flood waters are raging, have you heard anybody thinking of his illicit beloved at that time? Therefore, as Shaykh Saadi Rahmatullah Alayh, he says, in Baghdad at one time there was drought, terrible drought, and people were dying. So at that time somebody asked one person who was almost on the verge of death also because of extreme hunger and poverty and starvation. But he was a person that was what we term as ashik mizaj, that he was involved in lots of singing, dancing, music and illicit beloveds. He said, now what would you like? Would you like some food? Or would you like me to bring that illicit beloved of yours? Then he says, to hell with those illicit beloveds. At this moment what I need is food for my stomach. So all our sins are because of the masti that we have, of plentiful that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with. Because our stomachs are full, because we have money in the banks, and we have money in the pockets, and we have enough in our homes, so then we forget the giver of those ni'mats. We forget it is Allah Ta'ala who has blessed us with those ni'mats. Make shukr and eat, make shukr and wear, make shukr and travel. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has promised, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are going to make shukr, I will definitely, most certainly give you an increase in those bounties and ni'mats. Otherwise, bounties and ni'mats will be given, but they will be given like that piece of cheese we give to the rats. And Allah Ta'ala's first target is the spiritual heart of the person. That person, azab first starts there. Restlessness, anxieties, worries and problems. in spite of everything, but the person doesn't have any kind of enjoyment in life. So this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave to us so that we may make sincere tawbah from all our sins and return to Him. Allah Ta'ala loves His creation. Allah Ta'ala is most merciful, most forgiving. And He really loves forgiveness of sins, but provided the person sincerely repents. Sincere tawbah. Mera har khata perona, yehi hai meri talafi. Mera har khata perona, yehi hai meri talafi. Teri rahmaton ka sadqa, mera jurm afw karna. My beloved Allah, what else do I have except the tears of my eyes? Over all my sins and my weaknesses and shortcomings, my beloved Allah, I have nothing except to tear and cry before You. Mera har khata perona, whatever it is, I make aitiraf e qusoor. Kabhi taat wo ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf e qusoor hai. Ye malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzoor mera huzoor hai. Even the angels do not know what stages this person reaches with his sincere tawbah. So mera har khata perona. And this is what I've explained many times, and I conclude on that, that the baby knows no other language except crying. Take any baby. Which language does that child know? Whether he's a Japanese baby, or Chinese baby, or English baby, or Canadian baby, any baby, or African baby, or Indian baby. Any baby knows only one language, and that is cry. Stomach ache, cry. Headache, cry. Any kind of sickness, cry. Missing the father, cry. Missing the mother, cry. For anything and everything, hungry, cry. Thirsty, cry. That's all. That's the only language the baby knows. So much so that just to attract the attention of the mother is not looking at the child, the mother is that side, and of the child, the baby saw the mother there. For now, to attract the attention of the baby, of the mother, what does the child do? I'm talking about baby that can't speak. The baby will start crying. Now when the baby starts crying, the baby knows that my mother will straight away, if it's a real true mother, then the mother cannot see a baby cry, because he knows that this baby is either hungry or the nappy is wet or something, and the baby will get attention straight away. So just to draw the attention of the mother also, the baby cries. That is what a banda must be with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Cry before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala over his sins, over his evils, over his actions and deeds in this weakness and shortcomings. Cry and ask Allah Ta'ala for things of this world, for things of the akhirat. Ask Allah Ta'ala for protection from azab of Jahannam, from the azab of Qabr, for the best of this world and the akhirat. Whatever it is, cry before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will then put into hearts and minds. Nobody can do anything for anybody until Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts it into their heart. So tap at His door. What is not there in the treasures of Allah Ta'ala? We are told to say thank you, Jazakallah, for any person that shows any ihsan. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. The person who doesn't show gratitude to people, he hasn't shown gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. But it is Allah Ta'ala's system that will work, that we receive whatever we receive. So therefore, whatever our aches and pains, whatever our weaknesses and shortcomings, whatever our sins, turn to Allah Ta'ala and beg of Him. Use the language of the baby. Last night also I mentioned that in Makkah Sharif, one person said, he said, Mawlana, these beggars, they hold on to you, they cling on to you, and sometimes they want to drop you down and we have to run for our lives. So I said, indeed, whatever they are doing may not be right, but they are teaching us a lesson that this is how you should be begging by this Kaaba Sharif here. They are teaching us a lesson that look how they beg. So they are teaching us how to beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala now that we have come to Makkah Sharif. The Kaabatullah Sharif, the Multazam, Maqam Ibrahim, all these places, this is how we should be begging. Take lessons from everything. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the Ummah at large, the tawfiq of amal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, Ya Zal Jalali Wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali Wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali Wal Ikram. يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. My beloved Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate Allah, most beneficent, most merciful Allah, in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, in a state of fasting, in your home, after our salah, my beloved Allah, we have raised our begging bowls before you. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. You dearly love those who turn towards you and seek forgiveness. My beloved Allah, we are not justifying any of our sins. Indeed, we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. But you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners. My beloved Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. There was no question of darkness for you. Even if a tiny little black ant crawls on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights, you are aware of the movements of that ant. How can you not be aware of our actions and deeds when you have blessed billions of people with sight? Ay Rabbe Kareem, ab to raham farma, karam farma, maaf farma. Abhe sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat wali zindagi de, zillat aur ruswai se hamari hifazat farma. Protect us, my beloved Allah. Protect us, safeguard us from all things that are displeasing to you. From adultery, fornication, drinking, gambling, popping drugs in our mouths, abusing the wife, the children, disobeying the parents. Ya Rabbi Kareem, protect us from all sins. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, clinics, homes amongst us, bless everyone with complete shifa. Ya Rabbi Kareem, those who are weak, give them strength. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of envy, of jealousy. In this Mubarak month of Ramadan, cause us to be drenched in the rains of rahmat that fall. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children but they have left the deen of Islam, bring them back into the deen of Islam. Those who have gone onto drugs and drink and vices of him, bring them back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ay Rabbi Kareem, hame dunya bhi de aur akhirat bhi de. ہم سے راضی ہو جا ہم سے راضی ہو جا. Bless us with ikhlas in all our actions. Throughout the world, mankind is suffering, my Allah. We know it's because of our sins. Forgive us and forgive the entire mankind. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat, with iman, with Islam. And especially the Muslim Ummah. Ay Rabbi Kareem, remove the suffering, the pain, the hardships and difficulties. Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Somalia. At present, my beloved Allah, the flood waters in Pakistan, millions of people have become displaced. Ey Rabbi Kareem, Ramadan ka mahina hai, par raham farma. We are eating, we are drinking, we have got shelter, we have got shade. اے رب کریم اس مبارک مہینے میں ان مسلمانوں پر رحم فرما سب پر رحم فرما Don't seize us, my beloved Allah, on account of our sins. Ek din varna hai aakhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, or any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Tamanna hai ki gulzar e Madina ab watan hota. وہاں کے گلشنوں میں کوئی اپنا بھی چمن ہوتا بسر اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی وہی جیتا وہی مرتا وہی گور و کفن گرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ گرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہاں جائے تیرا بندہ تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ بامید کرم آیا Ya Rahim, bless us and the Ummat of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all the goodness that he asked. And from all the corruption, mischief, fitna that he asked for protection, protect us and the Ummat of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the tamanna that is in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the day. Ay Rabbi Kareem, fulfill their good wishes, good desires, good aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the sickness, the weakness of each and every individual. Remove the sickness, weakness, hardships and difficulties with your fazal and kindness. Those who have passed away, fill their graves with noor, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas sami'ul aleem. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ